Hello, Philip.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello.
And good morning to all of you as well, or good day.
Okay, with Philip Grabensee joining, we have all three representatives from registrar present. And we are missing J. Scott Evans.
How many proxies are you aware of at this point in time, Elizabeth? I think I heard you say Roger's holding one for Richard. Is there anyone else who's carrying a proxy today?
Yes, absolutely. We have.
This is Oscar.
Hi, Oscar. We have Roger Coschetti with proxy from Richard Tyndall. We have Tony Harris with proxy from Tony Holmes, which means that actually ISP are all represented. And we have Jay Scott with a proxy from Ellen Shankman. However, if Jay Scott is not available, the proxy goes to Laurence Jolakian.
Jay Scott Evans is joining.
Elizabeth just came on board.
Jay Scott, I'm sorry. I'm in the UK and I was having trouble connecting.
Hi. Well, at this point of time, we still have Roger Coschetti missing, Grant Forsyth, and we have nobody from non-commercial.
Is Mr. Roger Coschetti joining? Ms. Young-Joan Parker is joining.
Hello.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Oh, hi.
I was informed that Roger Coschetti is joining.
Yes, you are.
Hi, Roger. I listen YJ selling hello.
You're right.
And I just got confused. Somebody else?
Elizabeth, I'd like to ask a question if I could, please.
Yes?
This is to YJ. YJ, the other two members of the non-commercial have not come on the call yet. Are you holding proxies for either one of those two that you're aware of?
Actually, I think I read like Milton's proxy before I made a trip, because I'm here right now in Bangkok, but I couldn't really see Benny's words so far, as far as I understand.
I am in position to confirm that why Jay is holding proxy from Milton if he cannot join. Glenn, do you have any information from Vani?
No, none whatsoever.
Can I make a suggestion then, Elizabeth? Maybe we can kind of, for a few minutes, reverse the order of the agenda and maybe chat either about the item, non-election item, or talk about Stuart and give Vanny, who sometimes has some problems communicating, an extra 10 or 15 minutes to get into the call. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it sounds reasonable. So let's discuss for 10 to 15 minutes, but no more, about recent information we got from ICANN board and ICANN staff, I mean steward document, and then at in 10-15 minutes approximately, and Glenn, if you could remind myself about this time, we will move to the election.
Good.
I do want to advise the group that I'm also holding a proxy for Richard Tyndall.
Yes, Roger, we know it. So at this point of time, we are missing Grant Forsyth, and we are missing Vanny. All other members are present or represented by proxy.
I see.
Who wishes to start with Stuart document with discussion about ICANN restructuration?
Well, this is Peter. I'm not ready to comment yet, but I wonder if anyone can tell us about the visit of Joe Sims to the EEC meeting that happened, I guess, a week or so ago. Does anybody know anything about that?
The only thing I know, this is Jay Scott, Richard, is that apparently no one in ICANN was really involved. He just met with some EU ministers regard to, I suppose, the plan that was presented last weekend at the retreat. And I heard about it from a press release or a comment that was posted by Alexander Müllermann in some sort of statement that he had been called by someone at the ministry to say that this meeting had occurred, and the substance of it was not necessarily discussed other than there were some restructuring issues discussed, and there was a surprise in the tone of the email that I read that Alexander was not involved. So that's all I know, and all I know about that particular meeting was that that apparently there was restructuring issues discussed.
The source of information, indeed, J. Scott, you are correct, with the exception of first name. The name is Andy Müller-Malcolm.
I apologize.
The information, the first information, came from Andy Müller-Malcolm, and I may just confirm that Joe Sims went to Brussels, but it is anything I could get myself.
Mrs. Carey here. I'm in a position where I can actually find out exactly what transpired, and I will be able to utilize that during the course of, actually, the week after we get back from Ghana. I'm going to be meeting with you guys who are very proximal to that situation in an entirely different regard, and I'm sure I can get the gossip. However, remember that the EU Parliament was in the process of passing its resolution on the creation of .eu.
That's
when I was present on EU territory at that moment. Is absolutely understandable, any other covert activity notwithstanding. So it would almost be surprising for Joe not to have been around Parliament was about to make its final decision on .eu.
Right.
That's the point I was going to make as well, Carey, and that is that I believe the Parliament had a meeting in Spain, and while Joe was there, actually deliberated and approved in principle the .eu. And I believe that .eu and Peter and Elizabeth would, and Oscar would know more than I do. I'm certain that the .eu and ICANN or IANA are probably trying to develop some more formal relationships as well about there.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody know if Center supports the reorganization plan of Stewart, or if Stewart has done any advanced lobbying? And Center is the most powerful of the regional organizations and has the most money.
I haven't seen anything Willie's posted out at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just throw out into the discussion again. This is Peter. That this is. This seems to be kind of like a last stand on the part of Stewart. Now the ICANN has reached it's a certain critical size. Its will to survive requires ever larger budgets, more lawyers, and so forth. And I think the prime objective is the funding. As far as the MOU with the U.S. Department of Commerce, even though I live in a colony, I'm ultimately an American citizen, I see it highly unlikely that the U.S. Department of Commerce is going to turn over control of the root zone to some private corporation that of essentially something that would or could or should be bilateral trade agreements. I just do not see a U.S. corporation deciding if .uk is in the root or somebody else is going to manage it. It just doesn't seem likely to me.
This is Jay Scott, and I can tell you, without speaking for my constituency, that having read some of the criticism of the plan, I can tell you exactly the attack that it will take. The tact the critics will take with the U.S. Congress is the fact that there are certain totalitarian governments that do not believe the same type of protections are afforded individual citizens as the United States at least does in most of the civilized world, and for that reason Stewart's plan is flawed because it gives those potential governments power over a very powerful and influential communicative tool. Certainly saw that come through in Michael Fremkin's comments and some other comments I've seen, and I would suppose that there are going to be hearings in Washington, if not soon, at least by early summer, that will cover that particular issue, if not broader issues than that. I mean, I can see where the attacks are already going to come from with that regard.
Hmm. Elizabeth, can you put me in the queue?
Yes, please, Ken.
Yeah, just for a moment, putting aside the political implications, I do think that Stewart's message points out some problems that we are experiencing, and I'm sure that hopefully maybe Marilyn can chime in. A lot of the work that we're doing is being done by volunteers who are going above and beyond the call of duty, and much of the work that we have done so far and need to continue to do in various areas such as who is UDRP and so forth would be accomplished much more effectively and efficiently if we had adequate support staff that we could dedicate to assisting us in helping to get this work, get this stuff accomplished. So I am definitely in favor of expanding the financial support for ICANN if part of the support includes provision of staff to key task forces and committees that are working on issues like this. The work that Marilyn and Thomas and Abel and Steve Metalitz has done is just almost Herculean in many cases and has involved hours and hours and hours, and it's really asking an awful lot out of volunteers to take this time out. It would be nice to have that support.
Thanks, Ken. I am going to chime in. I appreciate your saying that. I think when I kind of look at the areas that Stewart addressed, there's the funding area, there's the issue of representation and support from governments. I'm a skeptic that the approach proposed is the right one at this time, but I'm saying that as an individual, because and I wouldn't disagree with anything Jay Scott said, but I would also just add that governments are very nationalistic in their thinking and are almost required to be so. And it would be very hard to imagine how governments could come together to agree on who should represent them. They're also notoriously slow payers. I can't see that. I can see a problem in terms of improved government support, but I can't see a solution that really works in the vision that Stewart laid out addressing governments. I think the problem that you just mentioned, Ken, is a really a big one that ICANN. We need staff who really are able to support a policy development process in a neutral manner, and that will speed things along and make everyone, I think, feel better about the whole process.
Elizabeth, this is Jay Scott. Can I get in the queue?
Yes, please, Jay Scott.
Drawing on what Marilyn said about governments, one of the things that I think is most disturbing to me just personally about the Stewart's proposal is the fact that, one, these representatives from the government are not government officials, they are appointees. And in my limited experience with ICANN, which has been over the last 5 years, or pre-ICANN, is the fact that many times people that are of a nature that governments would appoint them with sufficient confidence, they are many times people who are very unaware of the internet and unaware of the issues and the historical background that has occurred. And I'm extremely concerned about the amount of time and the cumbersome and bureaucratic effort it would take to educate these particular individuals into the specifics of the issues to accomplish what Stewart seems to feel would be accomplished at least on one level, which is the ability of ICANN to react in a quick and effective manner. And I'm concerned that I don't see necessarily a corollary between that particular aspect of his proposal and the government involvement, at least as he's defined it.
May I add something? I take a cue myself. If I am speaking for myself, of course I don't have any mandate of to speak on behalf of CCTLD. But the issue is that, at least from European perspective, CCTLD are very unhappy not having correct approach from ICANN for services. They are very unhappy that there is no contract, nothing, with root server operators. And actually, that is the reason for which European don't wish, my perception, my personal opinion, don't wish to sign contracts, because simply ICANN is not able, it's not in position to guarantee root server operator service as of today. And it is quite well described by Stuart. I just 2 years ago, when I was speaking about root server operators, I used to say 13 lonesome cowboys. It is still true. So how to deal with CCTLD from ICANN perspective is a difficult issue, and probably it is one of reasons for which they think, Stuart think, that looking for a help from government could be helpful for him. Who's next?
Elizabeth, can you put me on the queue too? This is YJ.
Yes, please, YJ, it is up to you.
Thank you. Well, I do have one question about the government-related one and one comment still about the government-related one. And I'm wondering whether, like, the Department of Commerce is involved with this kind of steward plan. And again, like, according to the steward press conference after just his proposals issuance, he sort of implicated there has been some kind of communication with the several governments. So I'm wondering, like, how many governments were involved with this kind of proposal. And another sort of concern in his proposal was he said that kind of doubt about the current ICANN structure was also sympathized with the internet founders. I'm wondering, like, who are the internet founders, like, in the proposal, like, mentioned. And another comment is, it's a little bit inconsistent logic in the document, because he said ICANN needs to focus on its responsibility to manage the mission efficiently, which sounds like a very company-like entity rather than political entity. But he sort of, so that's why he doesn't really, he doesn't want to care about the due process, which should be respected in this political process. And but he sort of like claimed he cannot do that because if the decision should be made efficiently. I can in some sense like sympathize with his concern, but since this is whole political process which he wanted to like invite the government from all over the world, and how can we claim that this like process needs to be managed efficiently regardless of those like political compromise according to the due process. So I'm wondering like how he can incorporate those like the political issues into the economic efficiency management theory. Well, so by the way, is there anybody who can answer my question about the government's involvement? Like how many governments like in behind this proposal, or is this sort of like rumors?
Well, this is Oscar. I'm not going to ask to answer that question, but let me speculate a little bit on that, because I think that Stuart wouldn't take that risk if he wasn't he hasn't negotiated before this deal with some governments. I think that this proposal is the minimum necessary for governments to accept it. Otherwise, he would be in a risk of lose credibility. Just imagine the scenario if this proposal is accepted, and after that, the GAC or governments decide and say no, thanks, I don't like your proposal. Let's do another way around. So I think that this proposal has a level of negotiation with some key governments like Department of Commerce, Europe, and maybe Australia with Paul Tomy.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was asking, Peter, I was asking about Center. I believe there's an element of risk there, and I do not believe that there's any certainty that Stewart has enough of a critical mass of governments to agree to fund this. And even if the governments do agree to fund this, it would really take some bilateral negotiation with the United States to make this thing go through. I see this as a difficult row for Stewart. I mean, if it works, you know, then ICANN becomes the top-down, you know, managed and controlled by the people who pay the money. The small CCTLDs will really not have very much control over redelegation, except in the courts of public opinion. That's basically what will happen. So what could happen here is that a few G8 governments, maybe some center governments, provide enough funding, and this again proves that those who have the money make the rules, and then 100 developing CCTLDs will have no power, no control, and could be redelegated at any time.
Can I get in queue? It's Marilyn.
Yes, Marilyn, it is up to you. Actually, we don't have a queue.
I've taken the position in the media interviews that I did on this that at this point this should be viewed as whiteboarding, and that what my own view would be that what we should be doing as a Names Council is looking hard at the problems that Stewart identified and coming up with thoughtful recommendations to address those problems, taking into account the recommendations that he laid out, but not necessarily in endorsing each of them, but to think critically if there are different solutions to the problems that he laid out. Because I think all of us agree, those have spoken have touched on recognition of problems. This is a 3-year-old organization. It was built from a ground start. No surprise it needs some restructuring or shoring up or re-engineering. But I don't think it's time for a big bang approach. And I would agree with Peter's concerns, as you expressed them, Peter, that but I also agree with I know that there is a significant concern on the part of some of the governments about the status of the root server contracts. And if we just went down the list of, and I'm not suggesting we do it now, but if we went down the list of problems that Stewart has identified, perhaps what our greatest contribution would be to look at what we could support and what we think needs to be changed.
Erlen, I'd like to add to that that what we also need to do as the Names Council is we're supposed to be part of a bottom-up process. Each of our constituencies has issues, some of which we agree on. I think we pretty much all agree that the lack of a guaranteed quality of service for root server services, well, at least the CCs, is a major issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some other things, you know, having some type of local dispute resolution and having it consistently applied is useful. Just have a policy, publish it, and apply it. There are a number of things, but what we need to advance is, sure, we should look at Stewart's points and say, yeah, well, those things need some treatment. But in the meantime, we've already spent 2 years on developing our own consensus on the issues that are important to our constituencies that are just being pushed aside by all of this. So we need to, and I've gotten received calls from reporters and wire services, we need to make it clear that we also have been working here.
Mm-hmm.
And, the business constituency, the IPCs, the CCs,
mm-hmm.
We've been putting in a lot of hard work on coming up with consensus on what we can do on a bottom-up basis, and we need to have those policies made real by the board. When we give advice, we want it taken. That's the whole idea, because we've spent a long time arriving at it.
This is Jay Scott. Glenn, I want you to take note that I wholeheartedly agree with Marilyn, and that will probably be one of the only times. But I really do agree that that Stewart has identified problems that we as an AMCUS Council need to seriously realize that he is not making up problems. He has identified true and actual problems that are tangible to each of our constituencies within the organization. And we have a duty, since we as a DNSO and the DNSO's representatives and policy recommendations to the board, have a duty to seriously look at those and to put the creative resources of each of our constituencies to task to come up with thoughtful, innovative, and realistic solutions to the problems that have been identified. And I would challenge the structure task force that is currently existing and looking at the ALSC proposals for an ALSO to seriously consider Stewart's proposals and to use the members of our constituencies that are in that task force to put forth those creative ideas so that we can help assist Stewart in overcoming some of the problems that he identified in his proposal.
Philip, if I can speak. I think it's a very good comment, Jay Scott. One is we've got a call on the structure task force next week on Monday.
Right.
And one of the topics that we've got down there is precisely that. You know, what direction should the task force take now? Does it continue its existing work? Does it stop that? And does it address solely the LIM proposals? And we hope that what we're going to do on that call at least has come out with a recommendation that will then forward to the NAMES Council in terms of what direction we would like to take as the task force. And then we'll see if the NAMES Council endorses that.
But actually, Philip, I think that that's the first place, perhaps, but I think that the entirety of the NAMES Council, and I had sort of said this to you, that the entirety of the NAMES Council needs to be fully engaged in this issue all the way through.
Absolutely. I mean, and as you know, it's on a 50-minute slot for the agenda for GAN at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Bruce Tonkin, if I could join the queue.
Yes, please.
I'd just comment. I think the registrars would have a similar view to what Marilyn originally expressed, in that I think we have, as a constituency, been quite frustrated at the progress on some issues. And we would see a lot of resonance in what Stewart has said in terms of identifying the problems. In terms of the solution, I agree that most of us are still trying to absorb all the ideas, because really it's there are a lot of ideas in Stewart's proposal, some of which are good and I think I'd support, others of which I think are a bit more radical, including trying to include government representatives directly as board members. So I would say that we should try to engage on this process, and that should certainly be one of the activities of the NAMES Council, to try and reach some consensus on which parts of the proposal are accepted and which parts of the proposal are not widely accepted. Also, I don't think we should just drop everything that we're currently working on and suddenly just focus on this. I mean, there are a number of live issues that we have, and we should continue to work through those issues and not just stop.
And I'd like to comment on what Bruce said. Bruce, I think that's exactly, that last point you made is incredibly important, because we have policy development underway, and we should not assume that the Big Bang is going to happen and erase the good work that's going on right now.
Is anybody else willing to add some comments? We have been on this issue for half an hour almost now. Let me suggest that we continue this discussion over the Names Council list, and we continue this discussion within each constituency, within constituency between ourselves. And I'm quite sure we are going to have a successful debate in Accra. Let me move now to the first item on the agenda. Somebody is asking a question.
Yes, sorry, it's Glenn. Just yes. To say that I have phoned Vanny on her mobile phone and at her home. Her mobile phone asks for a message, which I left a message on. And at home, they say she's in New York.
Thank you very much, Glenn.
Elizabeth, this is Carrie. Can I have the word, too, for a brief moment?
Yes, Carrie. Is it with regard to the Stewart document or something else?
I'm sorry. I had assumed that you proceeded to the next point on the agenda.
I was on my way to move to the first item of the agenda, to the election.
I have a procedural comment as regards the election, if I may.
Yes, please go ahead, Carrie.
Okay. Since I am one of the candidates, I would actually feel quite uncomfortable participating actively in the election, and would like to give my proxy to Roger, if Roger will accept it, and wish to know if it's permissible for me to audit the remainder of the call without being actively participatory, having given the proxy.
I don't recall if our procedures allows for holding more than one proxy. I believe that we had the issue to not give anybody, any one person, a power of too much proxy. Is somebody able to verify if it is possible that Roger Coschetti be holding two proxy? I don't remember.
Carrie, again, given that you were just trying to determine if YJ should hold two proxies for her constituency,
it was not the issue. Glenn was trying to call Vanny. I don't recall we were discussing about two proxies to YJ.
May I ask, please, for a ruling from the chair? Again, I feel somewhat uncomfortable being a voter in an election where I'm a candidate.
Yeah, Elizabeth, this is Roger. I would just say I'm not aware of any procedure or any precedent that would limit the number of proxies that any council member can hold. And I would say, as an aside, by the way, anyone else who would like to give me their proxy, I'm more than happy to take it.
This is J. Scott Evans.
Let's look at the rules, and it's okay. There's no prohibition on Roger holding.
Okay, if there is no prohibition, it is just okay. I don't have any other question with regard to that. So consider that Roger Coschetti is receiving the second proxy from Carrie.
Anybody else want to join in? Just joking, Elizabeth.
It's Philip. I think Carrie's example is something I'd be very happy to follow, just in terms of protocol. Let me formally then give my proxy to Marilyn Cade for this vote.
Fine. Thanks.
Thank you. So I note on my papers. Philip proxy to Marilyn. I understand that we the Names Council, we have been discussing the the issue of the chairman for and of candidates for quite a long while. I would like to be very brief with that, and I will immediately move to election. I will call each of you with the list I have and ask you the name of candidate to make a choice between Philip Shepard and Carrie Karp. Glenn, are you ready to note?
Elizabeth?
Yes?
I'm sorry, just a point of order here. I believe that you have three choices. Carrie Karp, Philip, or an abstention. I think that you have to remember that anyone always has the right not to vote, so... Please.
Absolutely, you are absolutely correct, Ken. Thank you very much for reminding me that there is always an option of abstention.
Thank you.
Let me start. We have 21 person on the names council. We have 19 person present or represented. Two are absent, Grant and Vani. I will be starting with business constituency. Marilyn, your vote for Marilyn.
Philip.
Marilyn, your vote for Philip.
Philip.
Grant Forsyth is absent. Roger Coschetti, your vote as Roger Coschetti.
Carrie.
Your vote as Richard Tindall.
Carrie.
And your vote as Carrie.
Carrie.
Thank you.
Do I get any more?
Tony Harris. Your vote as Tony Harris.
Philip.
Your vote as Tony Holmes.
Philip.
Greg. Ruth, your vote, please.
Philip.
Thank you very much. YJ, your vote as YJ.
Carrie.
Your vote as Milton Mueller.
Carrie.
Thank you very much. Vani is absent. Ken Stop.
Carrie.
Philip Grabensee.
Carrie.
Bruce Tonkin.
Carrie.
Thank you very much. Jay Scott as Jay Scott.
Philip.
Jay Scott as Ellen Shankman.
Philip.
Laurence Jolakian.
Philip.
Peter DeBlanc, your vote.
Philip.
Oscar Robles.
Philip.
And myself, I am the last one, Philip. One, two, three, eight, eleven, nineteen. I am okay with the total. We have 11 votes for Philip and 8 votes for Carrie. We have the quorum, which is 19 person present. I believe I am in a position to declare that Philip Shepard got elected as the Names Council Chair for 6 months mandate. Thank you very much to everybody. Thank you for this participation.
Elizabeth, it's Marilyn. I would like to ask the group a question before we end. So after this section, can I put a question back on the table?
Yes, please, Marilyn.
Realizing that, of course, folks, the minutes will reflect our discussion of the Stuart Lynn proposal. I think it, you know, will be clear, and I think this is a very positive thing, that it is clear that the Names Council is taking this seriously and will be addressing it. But I was just thinking that we all probably want to, and maybe Philip, you might want to reach out to Thomas and just advise him a little bit of this discussion, because I think that would be good for the community to know.
Sure. Is it Thomas in the GA, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It would be good for the community to know, to pay, you know, a little bit more attention to the fact that the Names Council is really stepping up to this challenge.
Yeah. Thanks very much for that. Thank you, Names Council, for endorsing my chairmanship for the next 6 months. I will try not to disappoint. And I think certainly this is going to be an extraordinarily challenging 6 months with the Lynn proposals that we've seen coming out this weekend. I will feed back to you as soon as possible the recommendation that come out of the call I have on the task force on structure as to what they would propose they may contribute, and clearly this is something that's going to occupy us all. And stretch our minds in terms of thinking what indeed I think as we heard voices earlier saying what we like in terms of the analysis and what we perhaps question in terms of the solutions to that analysis. And I think that's probably where the greatest challenge will come.
This is Carrie. Can I have the word before we adjourn, too, please?
Yes, please, Carrie. Go ahead.
I just want to go on record as being the first to have congratulated Philip for his continued enjoyment of our trust for the next 6 months as well.
Thank you.
And this is Jay Scott. I just want to say that I appreciate very much both candidates, because I think that both were extremely well qualified. Carrie, if I may personally thank you so much for sending around the email with your condensed CV. It was very impressive. It was a very hard choice, and you're both extremely well qualified individuals, and we're just lucky to have both of you involved in this process.
This is Vijay. I also like to add such kind of appreciation to both candidates. Also, like, congratulations to Philip. And further, I have some proposal to the other constituencies, because non-commercial constituency wanted to have some interaction with the other constituencies through this ICANN non-commercial constituency meeting. So I'm wondering how many constituencies are planning to have such kind of cross-constituency meeting, especially to discuss this whole reformation proposal. So if there is any constituency who is planning to do that, a non-commercial constituency is not willing to join that meeting. Or if you are interested, like, we welcome your participation in our
Thank you very much, OAJ, for your proposal. I understand that a lot of constituency member will be discussing this issue and joining the joint interconstituency meeting in Ghana, if there is one being prepared. I believe there is one. Let me also myself thank both candidates, who are excellent candidates, and it was indeed very difficult to make a choice. Let's tackle now to the work, and the work is indeed very huge. Thank you very much for joining this teleconference. See you
Thank
next
you.
Time in Ghana.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.